The Daily.
Talking about the book Shortener, How Working Less Will Revolutionise the Way Your Company Gets Things Done. Let me tell you a little bit about the author. Alex Soojong King Pang, PhD, has spent two decades studying people, technology and the worlds they make. A Silicon Valley-based futurist and consultant. He has worked with governments and Future 500 companies, spoken at venues ranging from CIA headquarters to Shakespeare's Globe Theatre to the Googleplex, and held academic positions at Stanford and Oxford Universities. His last book, Rest, Why You Get More Done When You Work Less, is available in a dozen languages. You've been a busy person, Alex.
Well, it's a great subject, and there's a lot to say about it.
Yeah. In fact, I say you're a busy person, but actually you're probably learning not to be as busy if your books are anything to go by. This comes at a very interesting time in our world, Alex. I'm not sure exactly what you're in the United States, I think, aren't you? It's obviously different kind of levels around the world with this pandemic at the moment, but I know countries like New Zealand and others have been asking the question about a four-day week. It's certainly come up here in Spain as well. Do you think it's a kind of a time now for people to stop and think about how we move forward?
You know, it's certainly the case that this experience, and I'm in California where we've taken the lockdown pretty seriously, has revealed, you know, a whole bunch of things about how work doesn't work, about how, you know, essential workers turn out to be some of our sort of most poorly compensated. And I think there's a sense that, you know, we have, that companies have learned that they can actually very quickly adjust to new realities and do things that they thought were impossible. And so I think that going forward, you know, we are going to, more of us will ask the question, what is it about how we work that we can change? And I think that sort of for a bunch of reasons, changing the work week, changing the number of hours that we work, will be sort of at the top of that agenda.
Just a little point you made there, throwaway comment that you made about essential workers. That was a really interesting point there, because a lot of what we've seen as essential workers here, those that are working on supermarkets, filling shelves and so on, we relied upon those guys.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. And the same is true here in the U.S., right? Delivery people, of nursing staff, people who work in care homes. These are people who, you know, sort of we have tended not to think very much about, or whose labor we have reduced to, you know, or of a, you know, a set of algorithms.
Yeah.
But when, you know, when it comes to it, actually are more important for helping the world run than, you know, sort of, well, frankly, people who write books and go on the radio talking about those books.
And people who talk to people about that as well. Late last year, we had a general election in the United Kingdom, and the Labour Party there were talking about this possible policy. I'm not sure if I ever got into their manifesto about a four-day week. And of course, that kind of goes with the Labour Party in the principles, maybe, of renationalising things as well, and having a 4-day week, and kind of that would be very favourable by the unions. And of course, the Conservatives, more capitalist, maybe in their outlook, kind of poo-poo the idea. Is it a political thing as well as a concept?
You know, first off, I think the Tories did a brilliant job of painting Labour's 4-day week as having been hatched in some kind of, you know, sort of Venezuelan center for economic disruption.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you look at the companies that have actually done it, and I've looked at more than 100 around the world in a variety of industries, from software startups to factories, right? You find that it's something that's driven by owners and founders rather than by, you know, these are places that generally don't have much of a labor presence, and that it's done for very clear-headed business reasons: to improve recruitment and retention, to make the company more sustainable, to reduce burnout, to help people and the company be more productive, better places to work. And so I think for me, one of the things that's been really interesting is that this version of the movement has so far not been one in which either the state or organized labor has been Kasparov has been a big player, but it's really been entrepreneurs solving problems, dealing with crises in how they run their businesses. And so I think that, in the future, sort of as this spreads, we will see states start to play more of a role. And that will vary greatly depending upon, where in the world you are.
Yeah.
I think actually it's probably a good thing for the movement that this is something that has been very much bottom up. It's been and has been something driven by business necessity and the needs of, the needs of founders and leaders rather than something imposed on them from the outside.
Yeah. And I think that's it organically, if it comes from business people, I think it's more likely to succeed as far as it becoming a political concept.
Right. And I think it's also the case that there are a lot of different kinds of shorter work weeks, even several different kinds of 4-day weeks. And it would have been difficult to predict from the outset or of how to make this work in different industries or even between different companies in the same industry. And so I think it's really great that sort of we have these examples on the ground that can certainly guide other companies that want to try it, but also, will, let us hope, inform good policy.
We've just been chatting on the show. I've got people, listeners calling in and messaging in things that we're going to miss on lockdown. Here in Spain, we're coming to some what they're calling a new normal, and we're heading into that kind of new area. So lockdown's being lifted, restrictions are being lifted, businesses are opening up again and so on. And I said, what are you going to miss? A lot of people said we're going to miss the peace and quiet, going to miss not having to get up dead early in the morning, miss having the, miss not having the alarm on, miss not being able to just go and do something whilst working from home. I think we've all had a taster of what it could be like.
Exactly. And I think that, no one wants to continue with the disruption of the disruptions of businesses or the challenges of dealing with, having to invent working from home while also being, simultaneously a caregiver, school teacher, et cetera. we should recognize that, things that we thought were going to be really difficult to change, things that businesses thought would be impossible to implement in their own companies, turned out to be within our grasp.
Yeah.
And I think that, going forward, we should recognize, first of all, that those kinds of changes maybe are closer to hand than we think, and that it's more like cultural constraints or habit that sort of are responsible for them, but for making them happen. But second, that it really is workers who figured out individually and collectively how to make most of this work. Right, that the inventing your home office is not something that most of us have gotten a lot of guidance from our employers, and so I think that there is, people turn out to be a lot smarter about or of how they work, and if you unleash that, I think you can companies can see great increases in their productivity. They can be better places to work, and they can essentially do what the companies I talk about in Shorter have done, which is give employees ownership over their time in exchange for higher productivity, and they can see terrific things result.
Yeah, it really is. And speaking to people here who have worked from home, they're saying that they're getting more done because they're not getting interrupted. They're getting the work done that they need to do and stuff like that. But obviously there is a dynamic that comes with working with people and that kind of camaraderie that you get. But I think technology is certainly bridging that gap, if not fully.
I think those are all good points. There are studies that show that in the modern office, people lose between 2 and 4 hours a day of productive time to multitasking, disruptions, meeting, unnecessary meetings and so on.
Death by meeting.
And so if you can just get that stuff under control, you go a long way to being able to make the 4-day week a reality. I think technology certainly plays a really important role in that as well, in being more thoughtful about how you use them, using them to help you focus and be sort of more productive rather than be continually distracted. But it's also the case that companies that move to 4-day weeks also, while they have periods where people get super focused and you don't have to answer the phone or deal with those one quick questions that turn into, 10-minute conversations, they also organically do things like have group lunches or have everyone, go out after work. And so it highlights for me the importance of sociability in the office, the importance of, seeing your friends as colleagues, and that what we need to do is allow people to redesign the workday so that they have periods for both, right? For that kind of focused work that we've had at home, but also for the sociability that I think every single one of us misses from office life.
So again, I mean, I think you're not saying everybody works Monday to Friday 9 to 5, but if that was the case, I'm just thinking out loud here, on a Friday there'd be a lot more leisure companies that are doing better because we're going out spending a bit more money maybe, or going and having a hobby, going playing golf, and suddenly there's more time to do that. So is there an uptick for the service industry as well in all of this?
Yes. And I think Jacinda Ardern in New Zealand and politicians in Canada and Scotland have pointed to the boost to tourism and leisure and the restaurant industry as one potential benefit of a 4-day week. And I think you can look to the example of China in the 1990s as offering some evidence that would be a real thing, right? China moved to a 5-day work week in 1995, in the middle of one of history's greatest periods of economic growth, and the country didn't skip a beat. In fact, what happened was that people went to the park more, they spent more on entertainment and leisure, and so I think that even if one were to have something like, let's say, 1 or 2 months where companies had an incentive to work 4-day weeks, you could see a boost to the tourism and travel industry that let's face it, much needed right now.
Yeah, it's funny. I'm just thinking here from a Spanish perspective because for many years historically, Spain have had the afternoons where there's a siesta to go to sleep, and in the hottest part of the day here in a hot country, of course. But Spain have had this reputation that they don't work hard, but what I found is that the hours that they do work, they work really productively in the midst of that. And from what I'm seeing and reading, trials that people are saying that there's actually more work, there's more productivity taking place in 4 days than there would be in 5 days.
Yeah, and I think there are a number of companies where people have become not just 20% more productive as you would need to be in order to do the same work in 4 days, but they've become 30 or 40% more productive. And I think it illustrates just how productive people can be in several focused hours per day. Compared to 8 or 10 semi-distracted hours. I think the modern office has turned into a kind of carnival of distraction between open floor plans and being able to carry our offices around in our pockets. And while those things under the right circumstances can help us make be a little more creative or such, there's also a huge productivity hit that I think we have overlooked, and which we can reclaim and distribute back to workers in the form of 4-day weeks.
Alex, I'm listening to you. I'm thinking it all makes sense. I've read up about this before. And I've seen where the trials have been taking place. I think Finland have been talking about it, and there's been trials that have taken place in different parts of the world, and it's all worked very well, and the productivity is higher, creativity is higher. It seems to be a no-brainer. Why isn't it happening then?
I think that the biggest obstacles are culture and habit, right? I think we have, we have a generation of executives and leaders who've grown up with the idea that overwork is, you know, overwork is a virtue. That, you know, that kind of these public displays of, sort of, you know, of long hours signal that you are, that you are a great worker. And I think we also have lived in an economy in which, you know, the richest people sort of become successful by working titanically long hours for brief periods, right? Like the Mark Zuckerbergs and the Google founders and so on, right? You know, you don't put in your time and climb the ladder and, you know, in your 50s, finally get the golden ring, right? It's sort of, it happens really quickly or not at all. But I think that, you know, this is a system that has worked great for the Mark Zuckerbergs and the Jeff Bezoses, but, you know, as the pandemic has revealed, has huge costs for many of us, including our most essential workers. And I think that, you know, that while a 4-day week is actually something that we can create through a bunch of relatively small incremental steps that make an awful lot of sense, right? Who doesn't have meetings that run too long and kind of meander, right? Yeah. Who couldn't benefit from getting rid of those? That, you know, while creating it on the ground involves a lot of relatively small or of, you know, unrevolutionary stuff, that, you know, the effect on people's lives, the effect on economies, the effect on the way that we think about work and the relationship between time and productivity, actually is kind of revolutionary in lots of good ways.
And you're right in saying that, not that you need me to agree with you, but you're right in what you're saying as far as that we made it a massive goal. We made it a god, really, haven't we, to be workaholics. And the people that come on this show time after time, people that worked in London, in the city, or maybe worked on Wall Street, and have said, you know, we worked all the hours God sent and, you know, weren't happy, gave it up, happy. And that just seems to be so many people's stories. It's a no-brainer.
Yeah. And, you know, in my previous book, Rest, I looked at the lives of some really super creative people like, you know, Charles Darwin or Tchaikovsky or, you know, sort of mathematicians, and found, you know, these people also worked in the ways that the 4-day companies do, right? They put in a few really serious hours every day and had, you know, left plenty of time for hobbies and play. And this was a combination that allowed them to do things like, you know, write the Fifth Symphony or The Origin of Species. And so, you know, I think that, you know, this is sort of the importance of focused work, the importance of rest. These are things that we all learn the hard way, right? Darwin nearly burned out before he sort of redesigned his life and became super productive. But but if you're in that position where you're still doing 12-hour days and you're wondering what in the world, you know, what in the world am I doing with my life and can I keep this up? You know, I think it's not a cause for despair. You're actually exactly on track.
Yeah. Alex, it's a fascinating topic, but we are out of time, I'm afraid, because I'm trying to cut down on my work now. And also, I've got to play Dolly Parton 9 to 5. It's a law. So after this interview. Thank you for coming on. I really appreciate it, Alex. The book's called Shorter, How Working Less Will Revolutionize the Way Your Company Gets Things Done. Really, really interesting stuff. Thank you, Alex.
Oh, pleasure, Dave. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you. And I'm going to play Dolly Parton 9 to 5 now because I think that's just right. Thank you. And Alex, that book is available on our website, tre.radio, as well. Good stuff. Yeah, it's predictable I was going to play this song, wasn't it? Never mind.
Tumble out of bed and I stumble to the kitchen. Pour myself a cup of ambition and yawn and stretch and try to come to life. In the shower and the blood starts pumping. Out on the streets the traffic starts jumping. With folks like me on the job from 9 to 5. Working 9 to 5. What a way to make a living. Barely getting by. It's all taking and no giving. They just use your mind and they never give you credit. It's enough to drive you crazy if you let it. 9 to 5. For 7. To watch him shatter, you're just a step on the boss man's ladder, but you got dreams he'll never take away. In the same boat with a lot of your friends, waiting for the day your ship will come in, and the tide's gonna turn, and it's all gonna roll your way. Working 9 to 5.